Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Welcome back to Bleach Boys. Bleach Boys, Thousand Blood War, episode 28, Kill the King is what we watched. Ooh. This one. Features nearly 8 minutes of anime-only Ichigo content.
Yes. Whoa.
I kind of went with an infomercial feel for that one. It's I really want to sell it, you know. I have seen our favorite hater, Django. He hates it.
He hated the episode?
Yeah, he hates it. He absolutely despises the new action scenes. Shout out, Django. We love you. But I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was good.
It was so good. You know, I am of the opposite mind where I felt like the action sequences in Bleach, and I would say Thousand Year Blood War from the start, they have fallen behind modern anime. And now, a little bit peek behind the curtains. We just got back from actually seeing episode 29. We just saw episode 29. We're coming back. We're talking episode 28. And then stay tuned because there will be a episode 29 episode right after this.
To clarify, for people that don't know what you're talking about, what event did you go to?
Sure. So it's the Bleach Thousand Year Blood War Fireside Chat. Now, it was held by Japan House, which is literally off of Hollywood Boulevard on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, that's the stars.
It is part of the mall where the Dolby Theater is, where the TCL Theater is. Everything is there. They had the Japanese voice actor of Ichigo and Uryu both present. They showed us episode 1, episode 2, and episode 3 of part 3 of Bleach Thousand Blood War, world premiere of part 3. First to see it anywhere, even in Japan. It was incredible, but we'll be talking that episode after this one. So you guys have to suffer through episode 28. We'll be talking about episode 29. It'll come out the same day for you guys. But that being said, Patreon members get it first. So you want to hear everything, I jotted down an insane amount of notes from that episode. If you want the full spoilers, there's a lot of new lore for a certain character that comes out in there. If you want that, patreon.com/weavesguild, check it out. All right, episode 28, let's do it. We hop off with a Yuha flashback, which it was just head scratching,
right?
I feel like the last episode I watched, saw it happen. Yuha stabbed the king. Get it. Cool. Love it. And then it was like, all right, here comes the next episode. Cool eyes right at the start. Boom, we're in the lake. I was like, all right, I'm lost. Like, I'm lost.
He was being
like,
baptized.
So what I can gather from that scene, the Soul King is in the middle of this giant lake, and we are seeing the creation of the three worlds. The middle cut scene, the little, you know, I don't know what you call those things. They're called eye catchers.
The eye catchers.
Mm-hmm. That was talking about the three worlds. So I would assume that is what we were seeing there. And we saw Yuha kind of watching this creation happen and growing old as he was watching it in this nice, peaceful world with the lakes. And then the Soul King created the three worlds, and Yuha got washed away to one of them where he was reincarnated into what we know of Yuha Baha now. Thoughts?
I was a little confused at first, right? Like you said, it just kind of just starts there. Yeah. And then you see him as a child and washes over. Mm-hmm. Then what I would assume is like teenage years. Then he's full adult, and then we get to see like the creation of the, you know, holding the baby, where he straight up says, he's like, do you know what it's like feeling X amount of hearts in you?
Yeah,
it's
like, can you hear the screams from within?
Pain.
Yeah. I also wrote down, I thought it was very funny when we also see like Ichigo's skull get split open and like Yuha just standing over him, just looking down at him. I was just like, dude, I kind of wrote my notes like I was doing a reaction stream here. I'm like, man, Ichigo is on a fucking vision quest right now. Like, he's just like, he's like dragged out of his fucking mind. Just think of your Ichigo, you're coming up, you know, you have the weight of the world on you right now. You are riding the elevator that is Satin Kyoshi, where the fuck Orihime ability is, and mid elevator ride you start tripping the fuck out. You just like are witnessing Yuha grow old naked. By the way, we got Yuha nips, so that was a treat. Got those right in my face. And then you come back, Yuha is now standing over you watching you have this trip, and then you cut back and you're going up to Soul Camp. Like, dude, I'm so fucking, my head would explode from the information.
Well, speaking of heads exploding from the information, I was so distracted by a certain name that we get later, I didn't analyze that scene at all. I watched it, said, yep, that's trippy, and then just it left my mind. All I wrote down was, this isn't in the manga.
I watched that scene about three times, and each time I came out with the same thing, so I don't know. One of the things that people were kind of talking about is they referred to that sword that was being stabbed into it as maybe like the Soul King sword. I don't know if that sword has any sort of relevance that is going to come up later, but it's worth noting that he does have like a weird little almost like a pendulum sword that he's kind of stabbing into the waters. But yeah, trippy.
I did write a note on that. That type of sword is called a tsurugi, which is just like a really, really old sword they used in Japan back before they had curved shit. They all had straight swords.
Cool. Oh, interesting. Okay. It's a very historical. Yeah. Keeps with the time. Okay, I love that.
It is just showing that this shit old, bro.
And then we get reactions of everybody from the shaking of the world. There's now a constant shaking going on in all of the worlds. So I did not notice this on my first watch. I did not notice this on my second watch. I only noticed this on my third watch. The first time that we see Ruki and Renji, they're like, oh my god, the world's shaking. And they're looking around, right? It's very focused on Ruki and Renji. Behind them,
you didn't see Byakuya?
Byakuya is... Okay. Now, where the fuck does he go? Because he is not in any of the other scenes, Jose.
Yeah, he really wasn't.
I didn't see him the first or second time I watched it. Third time I watched it, which is when I was taking notes, I was like, oh my god, that's Byakuya there. Byakuya's right behind him. And then he never shows up to the lab. He never shows up when they're running off to the lab. Where the fuck did Byakuya go?
He's going to go find Toshiro's older brother.
He must, dude. He must. It's always the excuse.
Would you like the answer to that?
Yes, yes.
In the manga, a bunch of scenes that I'm assuming aren't cut, they were just moved to later. They're just Byakuya's already in the lab talking to Kisuke. He's just in the background.
So, I have the answer to that, but that is episode 29 content, and I don't want to spoil the arena for the episode 28 people, but that does get answered in the next episode, which we will touch on. We also get what's left of the Bambis, right? There's no mini. We get Lil Toto, we get Giselle, and we get Zombie Bambi, which Zombie Bambi continues to look fucked up.
Yeah, she's just being held up against the wall.
Now, we do get Ishin and Ryukin. They reacted as well. Did you guys notice? My chat noticed this. Ryukin is holding fragments in his hand. Fucking the still, what is it? Tell me the name, Pythies. The still silver arrow? Is that it?
Yeah.
Arrow stillness?
Yeah, the arrow... Yeah, specifically the pieces that he got from his wife's heart.
That is so crazy, man. I was just watching that. I was like, oh, like, all right. We see Ryukin first. I'm like, cool. Like, he's just, like, looking at someone's hand. Yeah, that's something. That's something. Don't worry about that.
I was thinking about it for a bit, and I was like, I remember Ryukin does something with this, but I do not remember where it goes.
Yeah, someone was like, hey, that's the Aerosilinus. I'm like, stop it. I'm like, no fucking way. That's what that is, which is so cool because obviously from a manga reader perspective, we know what that is. We totally understand the significance of it. If you're watching the anime for the first time, be like, what is that?
That's like,
what?
Cool. You're like, just you know, like, okay, cool.
I kind of like to think about something when I'm watching stuff. Why did they put that scene in there? You know, that's what I'd be thinking about as a first-time anime watcher. Why am I seeing... silver and like little nuggets in Ryukin's hand.
It was so nonchalant too. Mm-hmm. It's just like you get his reaction and you just assume you're like he's in a study and he's just like, yep.
That was like a if you know you know. Yeah, scene. that was one for the homies that'll come back later. That's gonna have payoff way down later down the line. Is it great scene to add? Incredible.
And it's so good because that arrow comes out of fucking nowhere in the manga.
Yeah.
So now when it comes up again, people point and go, oh. That's where that came from.
Yeah, it's going to be so good.
Incredible. And this is just the kind of stuff that Kubo is adding, which is just 10 out of 10. So, so, so good. I couldn't help but laugh, by the way, when we cut back and we do get a little bit of banter between Yuha and Ichigo and the gang. Ichigo and the gang show up like, we're here to stop you. And Ganju standing there. I'm sorry. I love my boy Ganju. The fuck is he going to do? What is Ganju's literal game plan here?
Seppa or whatever. What's it called, Pythies?
Dude. I mean.
Seppuku.
Ganju just doesn't have that dog in him. He's just like, it is embarrassing to me. I get secondhand cringe seeing Ganju stand up there. I'm like, Ganju, my man. Like, he, you know, his job was to show them around the Soul Palace. Done. It's done. Ganju, take off, my guy. Like, go home. It's over.
He's just part of the fun.
Yeah, he is like, you know what? I'm going to back him at home.
Now, do you think it is possible that his thoughts are, I should, like, take pictures for later for Kukaku. Maybe she wants to know what happened.
Yeah, he, like, Kukaku secretly pulled Ganju aside and is like, you better not fucking leave. You better tell me everything. I want you to be there, even if you cut. And he's like, oh, shit.
He's like, I got to do it. Big sis can kill me.
I guess, you know, realistically, they walk up, and the first thing they notice is that Yuha has weird eyes. So Ganju's probably like, oh, look at this fucking idiot with the weird eyes. Like, why are we
He's got vertigo.
And Ichigo's, like, ready to throw down. So Ganju's like, hey, fuck it. I'll stand here and look cool. Like, hey, nothing's going to happen to me. Very quickly goes awry.
I have, like, two thoughts about that. Number one, is it possible Ganju doesn't know what's going on? And number two, is it possible that Ganju is just so scared he can't move?
I mean,
he's paralyzed by the fear. Yeah,
but you know what? Ganju did help out Ichigo during the invasion and was willing to fight Byakuya.
Yeah,
so
he has
I'm
been
like,
in places where his power has been way less before, and he has proven himself a man. I just think he's out of his depth on this one.
Oh, 100%.
I just would hope he would know that.
He knows he's gonna die.
I also want to say that Ichigo's stance when he's like getting ready to pull the double swords, I think it's cool as hell.
Oh, when he does,
I think it's really cool, man.
I think it's like, yeah, this.
Yeah, it's so cool when he crosses his arms in front of him, holding both sides. I think it's really, really cool, and I like that even Yuha is like, "Oh, you got two swords." He's like, "Cool,
all right."
Yeah, they have like a whole casual conversation with Yuha, where like Orihime is like, "His eyes, look," and Ichigo's like, "What are those?" He's like, "Well, this is a sign of a true Quincy. This now says that I can see everything," and they have a full on conversation, just like hanging out, having a great time. Like, wow, this is kind of nice, a little timely, I guess.
I think our menstrual cycle synced up, dude, because I had the same thought. He goes to grab his swords, and I was like, "That looks so cool."
I know, it's so sick.
It's a cool stance, and I like Yuha was throwing a lot of shade through this fight, like a lot of shade. And one of the first things that Yuha says, like, firstly, he's like, "Oh, you have two swords, cool, love it." And he's like, "Let's see if they'll break again." I'm like,
"Oh
my god!"
I was like, "Motherfucker!
Like, this guy's a fucking asshole."
Put him up, motherfucker.
You don't see, but like, so I was watching very closely while this whole thing was happening. So he says, "Let's see if they break," and they immediately go into throw downtown. Okay, they're gonna immediately start messing with each other. Yuha still has the Almighty activated. It is not until Ichigo like gets kind of blown out of the building, is up in the air, and then Yuha runs at him. He deactivates the Almighty. Then it's gone. That son of a bitch. That Yuha. That shit makes me. I honestly, it makes me laugh. It's something that I would do. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, Sam
thought,
would do that. He
I
would
thought
be
that
an
was
asshole.
Very, very funny, especially the reveal, because I wasn't thinking about it at all. And then I'm just like watching the fight. Like, all right, cool. You know, he hasn't done any of the cool Almighty, which. Very sad that they got rid of the like the screen freezing and then moving them.
Oh.
But I guess it would slow down the flow a little bit. But I loved that effect. I thought it was really cool. I'm still happy with how they adapted the Almighty here. I still thought it was good. We get a Getsuga Tensho at point blank where he just goes, "Getsuga." Just like really calmly, so, "Getsuga."
I was wondering, I'm like, does he just say it more calmly because he has a new?
I think he's more powerful now.
Yeah,
so he's like, he's cocky,
like, this,
man.
This
he's cocky.
Nothing.
He's like, "I've got this shit in the bag."
I was distracted that fight. Number one, because I did notice that he didn't have the Almighty on. I thought they just forgot to animate that part of his eyes. And then he says, "I wasn't using it the whole time." I went, "Oh shit, I was so smart." And then number two, I was too excited by, "Oh, he's using the big bow technique again."
Yeah, yeah. There's so much cool stuff and so much to dissect with this fight. And so much is happening in this fight. It goes by so incredibly quick. And it is like 8 minutes of new content. It's fast. It's really fast. So a couple of things worth noting. We see Ganju hanging off the side of Orihime's
thing. I thought that was hilarious.
They just show that for a split second. We never see it again.
Yep.
Like, just poor Ganju hanging off the side. Ichigo drives Yuha into the hot springs where they were hanging out with Tenjiro. They were having a great time there. He does Sankt Bogen, which is like a landmine that explodes.
Jesus Christ.
Like,
I was gnarly.
Like, dude, Yuha, what is happening here, man? And then Ichigo cancels out with a Getsuga. And even Yuha's like,
clever
kid. That's smart.
Clever.
He's like, love that move for you,
but
Ichigo.
I love the crackling effect. And again,
yeah.
He was using the smaller sword for that. So that's why I was like, can Getsuga only come out of that sword?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe Getsuga's a smaller sword, and then he does the cross for Jushio.
Yeah, because then he uses the other one to cross
super
it.
Cool. Yuha and Ichigo are literally flying like to all the territories of the Soul Palace, which was super cool.
Gave me Dragon Ball Z vibes right there.
Yeah, super, super cool. When they are kind of putting their swords against each other when they're floating in the air, once they kind of bounce off of each other, Ichigo does this sick-ass spin move when he backs up. I was like, all right, yo, I see you, Ichigo. Putting a little bit of flair, a little bit of razzle-dazzle into it. We love that. And then Ichigo just like, Yuha is getting ready to do another move. He just cuts right through it. Like,
yes.
Just like cuts through the arrows. It's, I think this fight as a whole, and I think it really drives it home with when we do see Yuha activate the Almighty. I think this whole fight was to demonstrate, one, how much more powerful Ichigo is in the first arc.
Mm-hmm.
In the first arc, obviously, Yama got roasted, which is another thing, which is crazy. Ichigo showed up, got roasted. And then now, that was all a fight that happened without the Almighty. Now Yuha purposely deactivates the Almighty, and Ichigo is like doing a stellar job, doing a really good job. Now, you could argue it's a little bit neck and neck. They're kind of bouncing
back.
Yeah,
a little back
and
forth.
But ultimately, Ichigo is the winner of this fight had it been normal. You know, had this been the only fight where Yuha didn't have the Almighty, Ichigo slammed him through the shrine. Getsuga Jushio had a great time, or Jujisho is what it is.
Jujisho.
Getsuga Jujisho had a great time. He was doing 10 out of 10 times. And then it's just when Yuha's like, I had my eyes closed the whole time. And it's like, oh, son of a bitch. Oh, son of a bitch. But that goes to show how much more powerful Ichigo has really gotten from training with the Royal Palace. And I think they did a great job. I thought it was good. I thought the first half, let's say the first half of the fight, I thought was incredible. That was really, really well done. And it really did a good job of showing how much more powerful Ichigo became.
Here's 8 minutes of brand new non-manga content. Please enjoy.
I love the visuals when Ichigo does do the Getsuga Jushio and he's standing in front of it as it's like glowing behind him.
Yo.
I thought it was super, super cool. And then I do also like, I feel like there were so many callbacks in this episode. I liked Orihime reacting to the power, where Orihime's like, oh, so this is Ichigo's like new power. And she's almost once again like kind of nervous about it. She's like, yeah, this is so insane, like so strong, which goes back time and time again. We go back to Wakamundo arc. Orihime was scared of the hollow Ichigo. You know, like, oh, when he was fighting, yeah, against Grimmjow, that was a him. Big part when Ichigo was fighting against Grimmjow. Orihime did not like that. It's like, who is this Ichigo? You know, like, and then finally she accepts him, you know, and then he does one shots your boy Grimmjow, unfortunately. But that it's a great contrast. Or even now, I feel like Orihime, she is much more supportive about it. You know, she's not like, for terrified. Lack of a word, she's not throwing a fit about it. But now she's like, oh shit, like this is even more crazy. I kind of took that as she's like, this is more crazy than the Hollow Power. Like this is crazy. Yeah.
She realized
like,
he how is much, so strong, how much now. Gnarly he got.
And I loved it. I love that as a reference back to the old Orihime, to the old fights.
And it's going to be a call forward to when Ichigo goes Horn of Salvation.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm so excited for that.
The perfect setup. The perfect. Speaking of, we immediately after that get the It's Over Yuha, which I would have declared that, you know, round one goes to Ichigo. Fantastic. And even Yuha is like, you've gotten stronger. And he's like, I can tell, like, well, I know it's from you training with Squad Zero. And then we get the reference, which we talked about this so much last season. I'm so glad I got referenced, but the Ruza Sando. I'm like, oh, all right, it's back. Like, we talked about that so much last season, guys. He's like standing in the shrine. And I did like we get a little bit more explanation potentially about what we were seeing in the after credit scenes for Core 2 with the Iruzo Sando. It says that he was learning about the immortal memories and explanations of everything. That's what made Ichigo grow stronger, which is very interesting to think that there is like this place where you go into and these memories, they're immortal. You know, like these will always be memories. And Ichigo was able to take those memories in and grew stronger.
That was crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very, very cool.
Is Kubo taking a literal stance on knowledge is power?
Kubo's like, yep, that is correct. Boom, he just reworded that.
Stay in school, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wasn't really paying attention to what it was, but the music that played during the whole fight was a bop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
And it changes here with the activation of the Almighty. This is where we get Yuha go, not enough. I still have not seen anything in the fight with you. And then Yuha activates the Almighty, which, by the way, okay, so in this event that we keep alluding to, that we went to the Bleach Fireside Chat, we got to rewatch episodes 1, 2, and 3. One of the things that made me a little bit giggle watching episode 1 and then 2 back in the first episode, when Yuha activates the Almighty for the very first time, Yugram is the, I've mentioned this before, he's the ultimate hype man. He starts giving this speech about like how cool Yuha is and how this power works and why he didn't activate it sooner. And one of the things, he's like, you know, Yuha didn't not activate it because he was looking down on you guys. He didn't activate it because he couldn't. You know, he could have lost the control of the power.
Yep.
In this episode, Yuha gets the Almighty. He maybe had it for what? Let's say fucking 5 minutes. Yuha has had the Almighty power. He immediately deactivates it to look down at Ichigo. I'm like, this fucking guy.
He's
like,
just fucking.
I'm like, where's Yugram? I want to grab Yugram's head and be like, see, look at what your guy's doing. He's like, he's purposely deactivating it to look down at Ichigo.
Yugram is just talking out of his ass. I don't think we should take anything he says seriously.
Yeah, Yugram will always paint whatever Yuha does in a positive light. Yugram could like execute Order 66 and like, you know, he didn't do that because he had meanness in his heart. He did that because he had to.
He had to. He had to save everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're going too grand with the glazing. Yuha could stub his toe, walk into a door frame, and then leave a room. And then you're going to be like, it was all part of his plan. You'll see.
He had to get his toes stubbed and then just cry a little bit. Those tears, they're going to manifest into something crazy.
Those tears are the tears of all the Quincy's that died, and they're
there you go.
And they will be avenged on the prophesied day.
yeah, fucking. Yeah, I guess everybody needs a little Yugram, you know? If we all had a little Yugram following us around, we would be a lot more confident in this world.
And so I have a question, and it's a lore question I don't remember the answer to.
Now, how impressive is it going to be if I can answer this?
I was going to say, if Sam answers this.
I'm ready.
I thought they couldn't fly up near the Soul King's Palace.
All right, I tap out instantly. I don't got the answer to that, dude.
I don't have an answer for that, but weren't they saying something about the spiritual pressure not being as, like, dense in that area?
I don't know what the explanation was, but I know that, like, there was a reason why all of, like, the fights later on with the Schutzstaffel happened on foot.
Well, what I thought was really interesting, and maybe this alludes to what you're talking about, Pythes, there is a scene right when the gang goes to run up to the Soul Palace. It shows them running up a spiral staircase. But then the next time we see them in episode two, they're flying up in the elevator. So I almost feel like they were maybe going to go with that, Pythes. And then last second, they were like, we're going to do 8 minutes of Ichigo versus Yuha.
scrap them running up the hill or up the stairs. It looks like Kingdom Hearts.
Because I was thinking, like, technically in Bleach, they don't fly. They make reishi footholds in the air.
Correct.
So I was like, well, maybe they're just launching themselves off things so fast it looks like flying. But then they're, like, changing direction and clashing. I'm like, no, that's flying. They are flying that.
Dude, they're falling with style.
They're falling with style. So more people that would love to actually me in the comments, please let me know. I forgot the answer.
There you go. All right, that's a challenge for everybody out there. Send it. Let's see who. It's like the floor, you know, where you pick the expert and you challenge him to fight. Who can usurp Pythes the lore master? Who can do it?
Probably Jago. No Googling
it, by the way. That's cheating. The next note that I have is quotes. This is how I wrote it. Ichigo is getting almightied in the air like a dummy.
Yeah, he is.
Ichigo just, like, keeps trying to slash, and Yuha's just like, you can't see it. Like, why are you still trying to attack me? And he's just like, I'm going to get ya. And Yuha's like, dude, like, can you not see that you can't beat me? And that's when Yuha grabs him by the face. And, like, I like that. I feel like that's a little bit of a callback to how Ichigo disrespected Aizen as well. Ichigo also did that to Aizen. True. So, yo, hate to see it, Ichigo.
Okiura did it to him first.
Takes of your own medicine. Well, Okiura wrapped him by the tail, right? He had him held up by the tail.
He got it by the head, too.
No, he got it by the head because he smacked Ichigo's sword into his face, breaking his mask, and then
and slammed him against the wall. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're right. I thought we were talking about the iconic scene where he's standing on top
of it. Oh, no, not that one.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Okiura's tail wrapped around his neck. But no, you're right. That did happen. So yeah, everybody's getting grabbed in the face.
A little behind the scenes, Pythes was off on a little trip this weekend. Just got back from South Carolina. I did not drive. I was driven. And on the ride home, I chose to reread the entire Arrancar arc/Deicide arc. So I'm very familiar with what happened because it just read it.
Okay. All right. Good. So we have an expert on that. It's perfect.
Which is why I can't really say anything about how much shit Yuha's talking, because boy, is Aizen way better at it.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it, especially in Camp Fear World, if you haven't read it yet. Ooh, there's some great Aizen lines in Camp Fear World. Great.
Just in the first couple chapters.
Yeah. After Ichigo gets demolished by being held in the face, they begin to fight upside down on the bottom of the Soul King's, like, little palace. I thought that scene was so cool. I love the scene of Yuha standing there with his cape flowing, like, hanging off. I love when Ichigo tries to attack him while upside down. You can see Ichigo's hair being pulled back. It's so cool. And then it immediately leads to just the most embarrassing finish by Ichigo I've ever seen in my fucking life. Like, he just gets slammed all the way through up. Like, how many floors do you think that little diamond is? Like, 50 floors.
Probably. It's massive.
He slams 50 floors up through there, and he lays on the ground like he's fucking Yamcha, dude. Like, I don't know what's happening here. And then what would make me even more mad, if I'm Ichigo, I get fucking thrown through 50 floors. I come up. I am crippled now, laying on the floor. I look over to see what my friends are doing. They're all sitting down, just looking at me.
Yep.
Why were they, like, kneeling down? Like, what was happening? I would be so pissed. Like, get on your damn feet. I'm on my ground, crippled here. And they're all like, I think it's Orihime. One of them is full on sitting. I don't remember which one it is, but I had to watch that. I was like, dude, why are they like that? What position is that?
I got a question about that scene. I need you two to answer me this.
Okay, ready.
When did Ichigo's friends get back up top?
It doesn't make any sense.
When the last we saw them, they were hanging off of Orihime's elevator.
Yeah.
It just feels like we saw random scenes that, like, they kind of had a general vision for what was going to happen. And they're like, okay, so Ichigo and Yuha blast off. And then the next person, it's kind of like Game of Telephone. The next person was like, oh, well, if they blast off destroying stuff, then the rest of the gang needs to get out of there. So we're going to have them float up on Orihime's ability. And then the next person's like, well, he's going to get slammed back through, and we need his friends to be there for the manga content. So just put him back. Just put him back. Like, it doesn't matter about the in-between. Just put him back.
Maybe she couldn't hold him forever, so she went just back.
And it's weird that, like they were already looking towards the hole. So, like, what were they looking at? What were they doing?
the Rayo.
But the Rayo had a curtain around it.
Oh, did he still have
the Rayo curtain? Had the curtain. The part hadn't even happened yet. So they don't even know what's behind the damn curtain.
Okay, so I need to point out something unbelievably funny that makes this entire episode hilarious. Like, Yuha, he pulls the curtain back. The sword's already in him. The entire time Ichigo was fighting to save the Soul King, and he was already stabbed.
Which is completely different from how this happens in the manga, obviously, because we got so much new anime content. But speaking of stuff that is completely different in the manga, this next scene is completely fucking different. We cut over the Soul Society. We see Ruki and Renji. And this is where we get the let's go find Urahara to figure out what's happening. Byakuya is gone. We have no idea where Byakuya is. Then we see Soifan, Omida, Omida's sisters, Shinji, and Momo. They're all hanging on top of a building, and they're also witnessing it, and they're like, what the fuck's going on? And Soifan just takes his opportunity, of course, to just insult Omida. Omida, out of the grand gentleness of his heart. He has the Soul King's heart, Omida. And he's like, "What? I hope everybody else is okay. I really hope my fellow friends have made it through
all
this.
All the captains and lieutenants.
And Soifan's like, well, your dumbass is okay, so they'll be fine. I'm like, okay. Like, I just, rude. We can't have nice things. But that is the one joke that Soifan makes, because the rest of the time that we see her, she's in business mode. And I like that Soifan. Soifan's like, yeah, it's not no time to mess around, because Shinji tries to make a joke at Soifan, and she just doesn't even say anything to it. Just full business mode, good to go. Now, this whole thing here, super different. Super, super, super different. They eventually all arrive at the lab together. In the manga, they actually send out a Seirite-wide kind of signal, a message that all captains and lieutenants have to come back to the lab. They are being summoned to the lab. It has to happen. And the moment they show up to the lab, the same people still don't show up, by the way. So we still don't get Miri and Nemu. They're all fucking around. There's another squad also that said, no, we're not going to do it. I think
Seven.
And then everybody else shows up to this lab because they were summoned. And that is when we also get the scene of Kenpachi showing up. All of this stuff happens way early in the manga. Like, Kenpachi is there at this point, and Kenpachi's like, hey, where's Yachiru? He's like, wants to go find Yachiru. And Urahara is like, no, like, I need you to stay. And he tries to leave. Kenpachi's leaving, and Urahara puts down like the gate, like, no, you guys aren't going anywhere. And which is cool. I like that. Yeah. And that's when Nanao actually steps up, and Nanao, like, kind of, for lack of a better word, commands Kenpachi, like, hey, leave it to your squad. Your squad is full searching for Yachiru. We need you here because we're going to open this gate. And then they begin to talk about the gate that they're going to open and how they need to power the orbs. We get that whole explanation. Ukitake shows up. Mm-hmm. Ukitake shows up actually with Kenpachi and everybody. We see all of that way before in the manga. Like, this stuff in the order that they're showing up is different in the anime, which seems like they are talking. They are pushing back anything that has to do with the gate to later. Like, that they don't even want to talk about the gate. I think we got a throwaway message about the gate at some point, and like, that's it.
Sam, you are starting to feel how I felt last season when they are moving stuff around or just straight up skipping it.
Yeah, it's like, it's really just out the window as to what content we're going to actually get from the manga. Speaking of, we get a brand new scene in the anime where Ukitake is healing Kenpachi.
Yeah, I thought that was so
is a crazy different scene to just add in there. Now, someone on Twitter pointed this out. I don't have your username. I'm so sorry. He kept, like, he's like healing Kenpachi. He's like, you can't die yet. Like, don't die. Oh. But here's the thing. Is he talking to Kenpachi? He's talking to the Soul King. Because which one do you think he's really talking about?
Oh, that's true.
Someone pointed out where it almost comes off as, and you can see the look on Ukitake's face, that he's almost saying that about the Soul King. He's like,
yeah,
you can't
die. He's more worried about
that. Please don't die. Like, you know, I'm not ready. Like, you, like, don't do it. And not as I'm not ready as I don't want to die. It's like, I'm in the middle of healing Kenpachi.
Like, yeah, like, I need to heal this monster
first. Don't die, please. Like, just give me like two more minutes. I love that scene.
That was a really good, incredible scene.
And I like that it gave Ukitake, you know, a little something to show that he was helping. I like that a lot.
I'm flipping through the manga to see if Ukitake was the one that was helping Zaraki. It kind of looks like it, but it is not as heavily implied as it was in the anime.
So when Ukitake shows up to the lab, he makes a comment. Like, everybody's like, Ukitake, like, what are you doing here? And he makes a comment like, oh, I just finished three rounds of healing.
Yeah.
I took that as he just got healed. Like, he got something done, right? I got healed. When I was doing my live, I think it was live read of the manga that we were doing, which happens every Friday, by the way, if you guys want to check it out. Somebody was like, no, like, that's Ukitake saying he was healing somebody. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's not how I took it at all. So who's to say? Maybe that's how it was supposed to be meant. It's like, Ukitake's like, no, I just got done healing people.
Well, I'm looking at it, and like, Zaraki's walking out, and he's saying stuff, and then Ukitake just goes, oh, hey, you're up and about. Good for you. And I was like, did he know?
Yeah, implied that he was the one healing him.
Well, because I think they had said right before that that Kenpachi is not going to be here. And then Kenpachi's like, yo, like I'm here. Like, good to go.
Back at it, boys.
Mm-hmm. In the anime, we immediately get into now. She is wondering if the Quincy's, like this whole thousand-year blood war, started from the original beef between the Quincy's and the Soul Reapers. Why didn't the Quincy's just eradicate all of the Soul Reapers before coming up? But this is where we get more narration from Yuha, who just kind of goes like, well, you know, although the Soul King is super powerful, he sees everything, he has all of the power in the world, he only chooses to stabilize the world. And he's like, and number, you know, he's like number two to that point. Not only is he all powerful, he has all the visions, he can see everything that's going to happen thousands of years into the future, he still chooses to fuck over the Quincy's at every turn, every fucking turn. And this is where we get the reveal of the Soul King's name, which I believe is the first time ever, right?
I am shocked that this actually happened. I know Kubo was teasing it.
So someone in the comments from the last video had said that it was mentioned before and it was spelled differently.
It had been mentioned and I looked it up. Maybe it was someone else, but the one I found is a guy named Dizlin on Reddit. Who was, because when Yuha was doing his little chant for the Ashwallen, he mentioned a coffin of Adonais.
Yeah, I do remember.
That's the exact scene that the guy was saying that it was mentioned before. Yeah. So
it was.
When I look, it's over a year ago, and I remember thinking that dude was crazy, and that can't possibly be the Soul King's name. So good for you. You proved me to be an idiot again.
That's crazy. That's really crazy. I love that there's also like a club outside question where it's like, hey, does the Soul King have a name? And he's like, he does. I might reveal it in the anime if there's time, and then here we are.
Then he just drops it right away.
I thought we would get the name as like one of the last things in the entire series. Not, he just drops it. It's not like, and the Soul King's name is. He just goes, oh yeah, the Soul King Adonais. What?
Yeah.
I love how nonchalant it was. Like he's mid backstory of something else. Yeah, and the Soul King Adonais. And then we only pause for a second. Next scene. I'm like, oh yep. My.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
My gosh, okay, wait a second.
I was so confused watching it. I was just like, oh my God, mm-hmm. They said his name.
Mm-hmm.
So he said the name. I immediately paused and just went all the way into Google. So Adonais is one of the seven names of God in Abrahamic religions. Another of those names is Yuhabaha, spelled YHWH in all capitals. Now, that's not the important part. The interesting thing is have you guys ever heard of Gnosticism?
No.
It is a kind of like weird offshoot religion of Judaism that just doesn't, it's not around anymore. But Adonais is an archon from Gnosticism who helped the Demiurge create the physical universe before the real God could. The archons are rulers each related to the classical seven planets that they had back then. Sun, Moon, Venus, Mars, Mercury, and Saturn. They prevent souls from leaving the material realm. So it could also be a corruption of the name Adonis or Adonai, which means Lord of Lords. I don't know the connection, but I just wrote it down. Apparently Gnosticism is vaguely related to the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, which is some cool shit that I don't know anything about.
Okay.
All right.
I kind of like that his name is related there to the, like the person who helped form like the fake world before the real world, which is kind of similar to what Yuha wants to do, right? Yuha wants to kill the Soul King, which I think is the next line. He wants to kill the Soul King and make his own world.
Yep.
Yeah, so the Demiurge is like he's like a deity on par with God, but he's not God. Also, he's malevolent. So he and the Archons created the physical world. And that's apparently the world of the Old Testament. Anybody that knows better, please correct me in the comments. I want to know more.
I can't wait for the block of text we're going to get. It's going to be
a giant block.
Which I'm for it as well. Send it. I'm down. Let's read it. Let's see what happens. Look into it. If you have a good theory about it too, I would love to know. Because there's some meaning to the name for sure. I mean, like Ichibei says, power is within the name.
The names,
you
know, yeah.
It's the names of the power. Let's hear it.
Makes sense why all the swords have names.
If someone writes a comment longer than two paragraphs, pin that shit. hit like. So that shit was cool.
That is very cool. Very cool. And like I already said, right after that, Yuha's like, fuck it, I'm going to kill my father. And Ichigo finally rises back up. And Yuha, I like this part a lot. You know, I was like, Ichigo, why do you still fight me? Like, what is your problem? Like, why do you still draw your sword at me? And Ichigo is just like, you know, hey, we're going to throw down. Like, it's happening. And finally, I love this scene of Orihime. Ichigo dashes towards Yuha, and Orihime jumps behind him and heals him mid-dash. I thought that was so cool. So cool.
Ichigo's clean.
Like bleeding from his head. And Orihime's like, boom, good. I'm like, that's
you.
Awesome.
She's like, I got you, bae.
So cool.
Orihime has been great in the Blood War. There's her opening the window when Ichigo drop kicks the Arrancar.
True.
And now she's like on point with the heels. She's actually doing something. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. And then right after this, which I was so happy, we finally get the Ichibei line that I was mentioning last episode, where he just full on is like, hey, I'm sorry, humans. You have no chance of defeating Yuha. But don't worry. This is always how peace is, isn't it, Yuha? And it's a little bit different from the manga in this scene, where in the anime, Ichibei's sword is in the form of the brush. And he kind of slams it down onto the ground. Now, I heard a really good theory that people are saying, what if the fact that the Zanpakuto is back into his brush form, he's maybe preparing like, hey, sorry, you guys aren't going to win. I better start preparing to make Ichigo take the place of the Soul King.
Yeah.
I just wrote down in my notes, despite me knowing what's up, Ichibei continues to be a sneaky, shifty motherfucker.
Yep.
And I like it a lot. There is a whole theory online that somebody just put out about how Ichibei is actually distinctly related to hell. And there's some sort of like old mythology that relates this Ichibei to an old deity that is super connected to hell. Haven't got to read the whole theory yet, but stay tuned. Maybe I will. And I'll let you guys know. It looks really, really cool. And Ichibei just continues to be shit. You know, he's a shifty motherfucker.
He's always been shady. Yeah.
He is very distinctly neutral.
Yeah.
His job is to keep the world the way it is via the Soul King. Mm-hmm. And if I gotta kill you, fine. If I gotta shove you inside a magic crystal, also fine. Who cares?
I mean, I don't think he is neutral, right? I don't think, because I think he very clearly has a bias towards the Soul Reapers. Like, they just say it is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. Those are his people, you know? I don't think you can call Ichibei neutral off of that. But he is, but above all else, the Soul King is the number one. You know, that is the goal, that is the function.
He's
that
a radical.
To that point, he does not care if he's shoving a Soul Reaper or whoever into it, but the Soul King must remain, and that is his goal. But he does have bias towards, obviously, Soul Reapers. He has an anti-bias, an unbiased, or no, it would be unbiased. He hates the Quincy's, doesn't like them. You know, he fucked with Yuha from way back in the day. So, I mean, Ichibei is a shifty motherfucker, but he likes the Soul Reapers. He likes them. There's boys.
Well, I mean, what if the roles were reversed? What if the 100 years in the future, the Soul Reapers are like, man, fuck the Soul King, let's go mess him up? And then it's the Quincy's that show up and are like, we got to protect the status quo. Would he still show bias to Soul Reapers, or would he lend his full support to Quincy's?
I think he would still show bias to Soul Reapers in the terms of like, man, I kind of taught you guys how to do Bankai. Like, that's
maybe not
up.
Annihilate
like,
them.
He would feel bad about it. He does not feel a single bit of sorrow or anything about the Quincy's. Like he changed his name to Black Ant. Changed Yuha's name to Black Ant. That's how little he thinks of Yuha. He's like, fuck yourself, King of Bugs. You know, it's like, and then even Senjumaru has the prejudice when she was fighting Uryu, where it's like, what can a Quincy do? Like, who cares if you're gonna, you know, you're the next in line for this Quincy power when the Soul King has already rejected you guys? Like, what are you gonna do? Like, all of them hate him. All of them hate the Quincy's.
What does it say for like the state of the afterlife, where all of the guardians of God are all of one people? There's not like a Quincy representative or an Arrancar representative or a human. It's just Soul Reapers.
That would have been so fucking sick if the Royal Guard came down and was one of every race Pythies. Oh my god, that would have been so cool.
And Stark is one of them. That's what happened to him.
Oh, that's where he went.
You sold me, dog.
You meet the secret member, and he comes down on a giant fish, and his name is Jinkaria.
It comes in a fish. No.
Well, if we're having all the races, he's the filler representative. You know, like, you gotta represent a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Imagine just, you know, the Royal Guard shows up and they're all the same, but there's just this vaguely kind of black outline. They go, who's that? And they go, well, that's the representative of that things we don't talk about. And they're just all the filler characters in one.
Yeah. That'd be great. I'm on board. Like, someone pin up the fan fiction. Here's where I say you kick it off from. All right. Squad Zero gets destroyed. They actually are not immortal. They don't come back. They got to replace Squad Zero. Then they're like, we're going to make this more diverse this time because we don't want to repeat the actions of that Zero Blood War. That's where we kick off. That's the intro.
That's where it kicks off. And then Jinkaria all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, if we want to keep it like, you know, live, because, well, Jantikaria, I mean, he died as a human. So it's going to be Although he started as a mod soul. I'm confused on where Jantikaria would end up. But anyways, we have, I believe his name is Kugo. Kugo is the last surviving Bount. He's still up there. He could join.
I thought it was Koga.
Koga. Yes. Koga. There you go. Yeah, and then, he has the same name as the other.
And any Arrancar can just fill in the slot.
Here's an actual interesting idea for the Hell Arc. Do you think there is an equivalent to a Soul King in Hell, and does he have his own Royal Guard?
Okay, that's cool.
I saw someone's theory saying that they think that the Warden of the of Hell would be just as powerful as the Soul King.
I mean, apparently Hell is like for real. From what I mentioned, when they mentioned like all of creation was shaking after the Soul King gets glocked, they didn't mention Hell shaking.
Yeah. Hell is fine. Hell is hanging
out. It's its own little thing. It's being held together by its own Soul King.
And are the guardians of the Soul King in Hell, are they all cool characters from the series that have died?
That would be sick. Be really my God.
I still truly believe that the only reason that the original, you know, Soul Reaper 13 court guard squads were shown is so that they could be in the Hell Arc. I truly believe that is the only reason why Kubo not only one revealed all of them, two designed all of them, set the whole thing up. It's because I guarantee those are going to be the villains of the Hell Arc.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. They're the Royal Guard.
Zombie Yamamoto, dude.
Yeah, not necessarily like on the Royal Guard or anything, but they are going to be the bad guys. Yeah. Guarantee it. Guarantee that they are going to be the bad guys that the Sarite is going to have to fight. Guarantee. What's the next scene that we get? We get the more Rukia and Renji. There's so much Rukia and Renji in this episode, and they're talking about the shaking. Rukia notes that she feels very uneasy from the shaking, but she notes that she hopes Ichigo and the gang are okay. I also just once again, I want to bring up the fact, where the fuck is Byakuya? Where did he go? Did they leave him? Like, why is he not here during this scene? Is he following them quietly and just not saying anything? Where did
letting them have
go?
Their moment, dude.
They then arrive at the lab where we once again see that, as a matter of fact, Byakuya is not there because only Renji, Momo, Soifan, Rukia, Shinji, Omaida, they're all, Omaida's sister as well. He's still holding his sister. They're all there. They're all good to go. Byakuya is not in sight. And then Nora's like, hey, great. We've been waiting for you guys. Like, come on in. Like, it's great. We're so happy to see you. We needed you. Shinji's like, you didn't expect us. Like, no, I really do need you guys.
I do like that scene. He's please, like, yes, of
please
course.
Don't leave. And this is where Urahara knows that he doesn't really know per se what the shaking is, but he has deduced that it is related to the life and the death of the Soul King. That's all he knows.
So I don't remember because I watched this in a haze last night. Was Yushiro there in the anime?
Yes. In the anime, he was there.
Okay, did he have the funny scene with Soifan?
No.
Okay, because in the manga, you know, Soifan kind of blushes and oohs and ahs over him and then gives him some spending money. Our boy Omaida on like a extra page just says, what's the deal? You just saw him last month. So they cut the joke. I'm very sad.
We cut back to Yuha and Ichigo, and Yuha's like, hey, don't tell me you think you're the only one who can protect everything. Like, don't give me that shit. I don't want to hear about this protect thing. Now, I want to know. Let's remember this line for later. I'm going to bring this back up. Remember that line. Yoruichi finally steps in as they're mid-combat and does her sick thread move, which in the manga we never got a name for. Mm-hmm. In the anime, we have the name for it, and I'm going to go ahead and try to butcher it for you right now. Tenshi Heiso, Hikikisaki, Kumoami. That's all I got for you. That's the name of the threads, which Yuha very dramatically lights them ablaze, and one of the little sparks hits the curtain, revealing the sword that's in the slogan. Yuha is just a drama queen.
Tastefully done. He was
a drama queen.
If he wasn't, you know, the king of Quincy's, he'd be a drama geek.
Major is what he would be, dog.
Yeah.
He came up, he stabbed the Soul King. Then Yuha was like, okay, you know what? So I started it. The sword's in there. This is going to be a great, funny thing where I make Ichigo do it. But before we get there, I'm going to cover it up so that way Ichigo doesn't know that it's
going to
Ichigo's going to fight me, where I'm going to actually embarrass him and humiliate him in front of all his friends. And then when his friends finally hop in to help, the spark, I'm going to hit a spark, it's going to light it up. And then they're going to see that everything that they just did was hopeless. It was hopeless. I baited you guys. He's already got a sword in him. And then I'm going to do the ultimate bamboozle and make Ichigo kill him. Like, this fucking guy, dude. This fucking guy.
He foresaw it all with the Almighty. So that is very possibly a thing that he did set up.
he's just, what can I do to make it the most devastating thing and the most badass looking thing?
Not only is Yuha fighting a physical battle, he's also fighting an emotional battle against Ichigo, where he really wants to just demolish his
mental state. Break his innards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he sees that Yoruichi's going to do her cool thread thing, and he's like, I should pull back the curtain so that when I light it on fire, the curtains will dramatically burn and then reveal the sword.
Yep.
And then in a weird turn of events right after that, Ganju is the first one to react to this like scene. He's like, oh my god, you killed the Soul King. And yeah, then that's when Yoruichi's like, no, like he's still alive. And Ichigo doesn't waste a fucking breath and just hops into it and starts pulling it out. And I feel like if I was Ichigo, now obviously I'm in the heat of the moment, I'm trying to pull this sword out, I think I'm trying to protect the Soul King, but Yuha's like narrating it out loud to everybody, and Yuha's like, yes, like pull it out.
Do Ichigo. It, like, Ichigo. You know you can do
it. You can do it. If it's you, Ichigo, you can do it. I'd be like, wait a second, pause. Like, why does he want me to do it? Also, is Ichigo not taking like basic first aid? You're never supposed to pull the dagger or anything out of you because you're going
to
pull
it. I was about to bring that up.
I was just like,
Like, that's basic first aid.
I mean, his dad has his clinic. You would think he would know that.
His dad's a doctor. I forgot about that.
He's like, son, don't pull that out, you're gonna bleed to death.
Here's my question that we've alluded to later. We've already alluded to this previously when we talk about, could Orihime have healed Ichibei? Could she have healed the Soul King? Which we know that eventually, you know, later, I think you brought it up, Pythes, she's not able to. But if it was just a wound such as that, would Orihime then have been able to do it?
Probably not. The Soul King's on a higher level.
Okay, I would agree with that as well. I think just from how it goes down, I would agree with that. What else do we get? I did like this quote from Yuha where he's like, Ichigo, destroy the Soul Society with your own hands. Another thing that people pointed out as we were watching it would have been really funny if Yuha just repeated the quote that Byakuya said to Ichigo back in the day, to Ichigo, please protect the Soul Society, but just reverse it, Ichigo, please destroy the Soul Society.
Dang.
I think that would have been next level disrespect, but maybe that's more of an Aizen thing that would have happened but that would have been so disrespectful. I would have been so mad.
Would you have been mad, or would you have been laughing the whole time?
I would have laughed.
He would have laughed.
I'm just thinking, if I'm in the standpoint, I would have been really mad. But I thought that was very funny. And that's when we see Ichigo's arm begin to, for lack of a better word, become very blue veiny. The veins start to come out all over. And Yuha then goes on to explain that the Quincy blood within his veins is forced to deny the Soul King's existence, and you must destroy the Soul King. As Ichigo fucking slashes through the Soul King, and I laughed when I saw this. Ichigo was so shook that he just did that. His eyes were so damn wide. He was just like, what did I do? And then we see the scene also with like his friends reacting to it, and they're all like, Ichigo, like, hello? It's like, why'd you do that? Like, we were trying to save him. And Yuha's like, this is where we get the reveal, which is relates to the line that I said, remember earlier, where Yuha was shitting on Ichigo, saying like, oh, you think only you can protect him? Then we find out that only Ichigo was the one that could have destroyed the Soul King, because Yuha's like, you had to be a mix of everything. You had to be Quincy, human, Fullbringer, Soul Reaper, and Hollow. Only that exact mix, who is obviously alive, was able to just completely destroy the Soul King's seal, and it had to be Ichigo. It had to be Ichigo. Which I feel like is a little bit, once again, stealing a little bit of Aizen's flow, grooming Ichigo to come all the way up here. But love it. That is an anime-only explanation as well, and I think I like it. I like it.
It makes sense. Ties it all together.
Gives him more of a chosen one vibe.
That's what I was going to say. I think I like it more because it does place more importance on Ichigo and the fact that Ichigo is so special. I do like it from that point of view.
I would like to point out that all of Ichigo's friends just watched him kill the Soul King and no one did shit.
I know. And everybody's just like watching in awe. Just like, I don't understand what is happening. And they also begin to watch in awe as the Soul King begins fucking pulsing like he's a nuke and just lights this light up. Goes all the way down to the Soul Society, destroys the red bubble that's been around the Soul Society as a whole. The roof of the lab collapses onto Urahara. They show a strange Hueco Mundo 10. I wonder who could be hanging out there.
That's
interesting. And then we see earthquakes everywhere. We see Keigo, Totsuki, and Mizuhiro. I don't even know if
that's pretty close.
Mizuhiro.
Thank you. I left out the H. I was close. They're still on what looks like that same fucking set of stairs that Kuraku came to visit them on. Like, they just love that stairs. Is that like on their route?
That's the
kick-it
spot. Remember when we used to hang out in
high school? Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's the explanation. That's where they like to hang out on the stairs. That's the friend group stairs. But we do see Totsuki pulls out the soul ticket and is like, Ichigo. Now, I do have a question that I would like to put to you guys. Would we love or would we fucking hate it if the three of them show up in Soul Society with a ticket?
I'd be upset if they showed up. They would just be in the way.
Okay, so Jose's a hate it. Pythes?
It depends on if they show up and they contribute anything, like giving Ichigo a morale boost or something. If they show up and are in the way, I would be really pissy about it.
See, that's where I'm like, yeah. I can't see them doing anything. Tatsuki's the one that has maybe the most spiritual pressure out of all of them.
Well, I feel like if anything, Tatsuki's the one that can really deserve some sort of a redemption. Like, yeah, she was just set up, I feel like, the whole way through the series of being like, Tatsuki's the next one. You know, like, Tatsuki has been so close to Ichigo. She learned out about all the stuff going on. She was there on the cusp, and then she just got left.
She just didn't get a piece of the Soul King.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Don't you dare disrespect my boy Keigo. Butterfly Aizen is walking around menacing everybody. He runs away, grabs passed out Afro Man's sword, and runs back to help.
Also, another feat of Keigo, he was able to block a blow from Rangiku.
Oh, that's right.
True.
So, yeah, he's got feats. Keigo's got feats.
Yeah, he's got feats. You're right.
It was Gintei Kaijo, and also, like, she was in the fake body. But still, like, that would have shattered my skull.
Speaking of being a little bit mind blown, Urahara is shook that this is all happening and states that the Soul King is dead? ? And Ukitake is now in the lab, and he looks up business mode, like he is ready to go. And Urahara says that if things keep going the way they are, Soul Society, Wakamundo, and the real world will be destroyed. Oh no. And then Yuha comes and looks at Ichigo, or Yuha's there, and he's like, Ichigo, come. Like, let's look at how the Soul Society ends. Done, done, done. And the end poem is Ukitake, which I did not write it down, but episode 29 is called The Dark Arm. That's the episode. What did you guys think of it as a whole?
I loved it. I liked that episode. It was pretty good.
Okay, so I was in a hotel room, as I just mentioned recently. I stood up from my desk and slammed my hands down and went, the Soul King's name! Oh my god! So that set the tone for the whole episode. I was all the way locked in.
I was the meme of Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, where he's like sitting down eating cereal, and he goes, "That was me." I was like, "Oh my god, they did it!"
My monkey brain took over, and I was just name research time.
Yeah, that was so insane. It was such a good mixture in this episode of one new lore being dropped. New action sequences being at the beginning, and then I was surprised that it ended where it did. When I was doing my manga reread of where I thought it was going to end, I thought we were going to the Ukitake scenes. I thought for sure. But also, like I stated, the manga, so different. The pacing is totally different, as well as the events that are happening during this whole scene. And also the fight with Yuha and Ichigo is like a sword clash at most. That is it in the manga. You know, we don't get any of that stuff. So I can see the reasoning behind swapping some of those scenes. It just makes it hard to guess. It makes it hard to guess where that stuff is going to end, because in the manga, it's so short. So short. And 8 minutes is a long time.
It was a long time. It felt like a while. But I loved it.
So I'm holding the manga, and it feels like if you just remove all the stuff they didn't put in, like, there was so much talking in the lab with Kisuke. Mm-hmm. Some other, I don't know if they show up next episode, you guys do. You know, some other characters show up at the lab. We get a bit more talking with Ukitake. It feels like they took the events that were, like, 8 pages maybe and expanded them into a whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I feel like before they've kind of been clowned on as Bleach Thousand Blowers and anime, where it's like, man, they're adapting so many chapters into just one episode. They're zooming through this thing. And this one, they're like, we took 8 pages, baby.
That's
like,
right.
That's what you get. Enjoy. Jose, you had a comment you wanted to read.
Oh, that's right. Here we go. So this goes back to when Ichigo uses Getsuga Jujisho.
Yep.
So, and this is for, oh my God, Lolosh99.
Shout out.
Hear me out. With how Getsuga Jujisho looked like a cross with Ichigo at the front, gives the vibes that he is more in tune with his Quincy side.
Ooh.
Pause. Okay, that got me thinking. In Quincy lore / culture, is Ichigo basically the Antichrist? He is the sun born in darkness, aka Dark Sun, who will kill their god and bring a new time of the Quincy's. He's like, yes or no? ?
He's also mixed with Hollow and Soul Reaper, and not just Quincy, so maybe.
And human and Fullbringer.
Yeah. I like this, though, because just like the visualization that we got. I mean, I don't know how long that attack lasts, you know, shimmering up there, but he looked fucking badass looking down at Yuha.
I like that. Give that guy another shout out.
Yeah.
How annoying would it be if it lasts for like an hour and like everywhere Ichigo goes, there's just now a new goddamn just like star boom, in the air. Like, god damn, I'm trying to sleep, Ichigo. Like, it's not bright as hell everywhere I look.
Hey, at least, you know what? He hasn't gone into Bankai yet. That's his old routine.
True.
I'm genuinely shocked we actually got to see Getsugo Jujisho again. I thought we were going to see it once and never again, but they popped off. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah. Super cool. Super, super cool.
And then he does use Getsugo, like, close range when they're upstairs with Yuha.
You know, you are correct, but you kind of blew my mind right there, Jose. I didn't think... it has not occurred to me. Maybe this is just, like, kind of monkey brain, just not really thinking about it. It has not occurred to me that Ichigo has stayed non-Bankai this whole time.
Yeah.
It has just not occurred to me that that is the case. Whereas, like, the rest of the anime, like, the back three quarters of it, he was in Bankai 100% of the time. It did not occur to me that he's been wandering around not in Bankai this whole time.
That's just blew how strong my mind, he is. Jose. Yeah, that's how strong he is right now. And I was just like, huh, he hasn't used it. But then again, we do know what we know in yeah. from the manga.
But people call him, like, the Bankai spammer. You're right. It's weird for him not to be.
Yeah, I just kind of assume. Like, you just get so used to watching it. It's, like I said, the back part of the manga. He always had it. So I guess I was just watching, like, oh, yeah, that's Ichigo. Like, I'm just used to his Bankai. It's like, oh, that's his uniform now. That's yeah. it. That's just how it goes. But now he's back in Chikai form. He's got another cool uniform. I'm like, oh, that's just his uniform now. Like, it just has not occurred to me. That's like, wait a second. He has not used Bankai. And then I guess that, once again, goes a little bit to my gripe of people losing fights in Bleach and not using their Bankai when they have them. Why would he not use it? Why would he not fucking use it? Especially if he's getting stomped on. Like, especially when he's getting whammed around by the Almighty, when, like, he's looking like a fool up in the air. Ichigo should have popped that shit. Like, let's get it.
I actually have some information for you, Sam.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I you know, obviously, because of what I was reading, I reread the Stark fight. So at one point, I think it's Stark just asked him, hey, aren't you going to use your Bankai? No, it was Ukitake asked him that, and Shunsui said, yeah, I was about to use it, but then you showed up, and we could just 2v1 him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that as a reason. I think that's fine. I don't think Ichigo has any reason not to use it here, from what I can remember.
You know Ichigo, he's a shonen protagonist. He can't use a new power without, you know, being able to strike a dramatic pose and have the wind blowing behind him just right.
Of course. Of course.
That's he's right. not going to do it. It's the Yuha in him, dude.
Yeah. Is that where he gets it from?
Yeah, that's where he gets his theater antics from.
I do like that there's a little bit of a callback, or at least I'm going to say this a little bit of a callback. So we got to re-watch the scene of when Ichigo first finally sees Uryu as part of the Sternwinders, and Ichigo calls out to Uryu, and Uryu's like, hey, go home, Ichigo. Like, you cannot defeat Yuha. Like, you cannot defeat him. Like, go home. Now, it is interesting to think, now that we have context with everything that's happened, that Uryu might have, I mean, he probably knew Ichigo wasn't going to listen, but that could have been actually probably a desperate plea from Uryu, where he's like, hey, I kind of know that
Your friend, dude. Like, don't be a dumbass.
Like, with the context we have now, where it had to be Ichigo to destroy the Soul King, like, Uryu could be like, hey, go home. Like, go home. Like, leave.
You
like,
think he had that knowledge
here.
In him and was just trying to warn his buddy?
I think so, because if he's the successor, you know, I bet he's getting the same vision trips that Ichigo's getting, you know, where he's like, man, this is messed up. I think Uryu could have seen that coming, and, like, obviously he knows the master plan that they're going to kill the Soul King, and Uryu's like, Ichigo, go home. Like nudge. Like, if he had his elbow in length, he'd be like, Ichigo, fuck off. Like go. But that could be said for a lot of people as well. Like, if they just went home, they would have ruined a lot of plans. Like, if people would have minded their damn business, they would have been fine.
If Ichigo had, like, not gone to Wakamundo, then what would be the point of literally the first invasion be? Ichigo would have showed up and just cleaned house, because they can't steal his Bankai.
True. Yeah, very
true. It's
true.
Yeah, it's once again, if he would have just minded his damn business. Like, you know, if he would have just sat over there, like, he doesn't owe anything to the Wakamundo, like, area. He owes nothing to that. You know, like, he was just there because they robbed his girl, Orihime. He's not friends with Owlbowl. He's not friends. He's friends with Nell, which is why he got suckered into doing it. But if he had just stayed home and, like, waited for the Soul
Ichigo's
Reapers,
just good-natured and wants to protect. It's in
Sam.
His name.
Sam, yes. Remember. Ichigo, he doesn't want to be king of the pirates. He doesn't want to be Hokage. He just wants people to stop fucking with his friends so he can chill. Nell shows up, says, hey, they've been fucking with me. And he goes, all right, time to take care of business.
And yeah, she straight up goes, they took Don DeChaka.
Yeah, he's like, point me to where you want me to go.
Time to go. I will solve. He is a problem solver. He's also a problem creator, but he will then solve the problems.
That's true.
Because once he makes it a little bit more messy, then he's there.
Just like, I got to clean it up. It's going to look good on my resume. Where is the Royal Guard, by the way, right now?
Dead.
No, the Sternwriters. Sorry.
Oh, they're just vibing. You'll see them later.
Okay, right? Because I remember, I'm like, I thought they were in the same room as him.
No, so they got left at the bottom, remember? Okay, like, yeah. He did his frozen Elsa walk all the way up. So we never saw them fall out, by the way.
Yeah.
They're actually... They are actually probably having a cup of tea with Byakuya somewhere. So who really knows? Where
you saw those edits?
Yeah, so funny. So funny.
What's her name? The one who cooks, Hikafune?
Yeah.
Yeah, they found her stash and they're like, all right, dude, killing Soul Reapers is hard work. Yeah. I got to eat.
They're having a quick little din-din. Is yeah. having a great time?
I think it's even funnier if, like, they're all just waiting there and Ichigo and the squad have to pass by. Excuse me, please. Sorry. Excuse me. Sorry. Pardon me. And then they get to go all the way up. We have to
I kind of like that they like pulled open a door, like trying to head up there, and they just all lock eyes. And they're just like, is this going to happen? And then they just slowly close the door. And like,
it's the scene
going?
With the Avengers where they're eating shawarma at the
end. Yeah. Like, we're just going to keep moving by. And they're like, okay, all right.
Yep.
Later on, and Ryu's just desperately trying to, he's like, he's hiding behind drawer, like, no, I can't make my reveal yet. I can't be seen.
He doesn't want to have the emotional damage, you know? He's like, just leave it.
Give me a minute. Give me 12 minutes.
All in all, I thought it was a great episode. I saw a lot of people that maybe weren't the happiest about it. There's a
name
a
Django.
Of how there's other people and a little bit of discourse of how some of the animation didn't look necessarily the best.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it looked crisp. Yeah. I thought it looked really, really good. There were a couple of times where it kind of gave that PowerPoint effect again, but I think that's just a normal in anime, and that's just a normal thing where they like kind of drag someone over and it's like, oh, all right, yeah, that's fine. That's just it's for the dramatic effect where they zoom in. But I thought Ichigo and some of the frames looked so cool. Yuha looked cool all the way through and through. That new lore with the Soul King, the Soul King's name. It was a crazy episode when you break down everything we got. A crazy episode.
I'm so excited to hear what happened in the next episode.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
God.
Sir. As someone who has seen the next episode, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot to be said for the next episode. Any closing thoughts on this episode that we got to see?
I shit on it a little bit, but that's all in good fun. I thought it was amazing.
I thought it was a good episode. I like the 8 minutes of fighting.
Now, let me give you guys a little tease of what's going to be coming next episode. Firstly, we're going to be talking all things Bleach Sailor Moon episode 29. We got to watch it completely. Well, I was going to say completely free, but we watched it completely in its full status. The first time they specifically said world premiere, even before anybody in Japan. Now, as part of the fireside chat, there was a Q&A with the voice actors as well. They were pre-scripted questions, so nobody got to ask anything. But one of the questions at the very end, and this is Uryu's response, the voice actor, I believe his name is Sugiyama. He was asked, what is one thing you would like to say to the fans? You know, like, what is one thing that they should look forward to? Like, what is something that you want to say to the Bleach Sailor Moon fans? And he said that the animation and the quality, and then Morita, who's the voice actor of Ichigo, also echoed this, where he was like, yeah, I agree. He said that the quality and the fact that they got to return to the anime, you know, 10 years later, when the quality of anime is so incredible and the stuff that Puro Films is doing is so beautiful, they're both so pleased with everything they've seen in the anime that they think it is just the best looking stuff that they have seen. Morita even commented that he thinks Core 3 looks better than Core 1, mm-hmm. which I'm not so sure if I agree with, especially when we're talking about my favorite Yama fight. But they both had nothing but praise to say, and they say that the studio works incredibly hard on every single episode, and they really do give their heart and soul into the show. And I think this is one of the times where we can really see that. And I think it's one of the times where you can tell it is just a bunch of people that love Bleach working on this show. And so I hope you guys liked it. I liked it. I loved it.
I loved it.
So excited.
And also, it's worth noting, let's give a special note. It's okay also to not like it. You don't have
that's
to
true.
Like everything. That is A-okay to not like it. I don't feel any worse for you if you don't like it. And that's A-okay. If this wasn't your favorite episode, cool, man. Cool.
Adonais?
Yes. Adonais.
Adonais.
All right, guys. With that, if you guys liked the video, you guys enjoyed the podcast, let us know what your thoughts in the comments down below. And of course, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Join our Discord. We're getting a lot of people in there. I would love to see you guys in there if you have not already. Also, we would love if you can support us on the Patreon. We have so much content going up there. You guys get everything first. You get the complete unedited reactions in full to the episodes when they happen. You guys get an extra 15 minutes of Bleach Boys content, which we're going to head into right now, where Pythes has a little something, something, a little bit extra lore from the episode that only is going to be exclusive to Patreon. Thank you so much to all of our Patreon supporters. Looking at you, our Weebs Guild Captain PV. Thank you so much for the support. And if anybody else wants to join the ranks, go ahead and check the link in the description. We will see you guys later today for a new Bleach Boys Talking Bleach Boys Thousand Year Blower episode 29. Goodbye, everybody.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.